This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet FM 104.6. Shalom, Deb.
Shalom, Joan.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
To the studio. And before we start, I would just like to tell people about the first play that I've heard about in Auckland, which is about a Jewish family and is at the Waterfront Theatre. So it's called Filthy Business, and it's on now until August the 29th, and you can book via the Auckland Theatre Company or call the Waterfront Theatre. So I'll just read you what it's about. And it's in Ingritty, 1968, East London, and I don't mean in South Africa, I mean London, East End. Yetta Solomon is the quintessential refugee who survived the unsurvivable, then toiled in sweatshops to make her way in the world. Having built up a mini empire out of nothing, she takes no prisoners and suffers no fools. Now the formidable matriarch faces her toughest battle yet as she presides over her warring sons and a younger generation who can't wait to move on. Determined to protect the legacy of her shop, how far will she go to keep the business in the family and the family in the business? A hilarious new fiery family drama by Ryan Craig, one of Britain's hottest playwrights. Ryan Craig grew up the fourth generation of rubber retailers. That was before recycling became, you know, the way to go. Rather than run from his past, he chose to reimagine it from within, hysterically funny and historically fascinating. Filthy Business is a towering tribute to the entrepreneurial outsiders who became the beating heart of every modern society. And it says, get up the floor, you schmendrix. Book now or else. So it's 2 hours and 30 minutes, and it has a 20-minute interval. And I'm telling you, it does contain strong language. And you
are you telling us that is a warning, Joan, or is it a selling point?
It says restrictions. It contains strong language. But it, well, I'm sure most of you have known or know a Jewish matriarch and just what their finer points are. So, and when you ring, you can find the prices. If you can get six people to go, you get a concession. And, in fact, if you want to go on this Tuesday coming, I have booked, and the price is $57.
Sounds great, Joan. It's a busy time of year at the moment, actually.
It is.
Because we've also got on the Limud Conference, which is the Jewish Education and Learning Festival that we have here in New Zealand every year. And it's the biggest Jewish festival that we have in New Zealand. It brings people from all over the country.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's fantastic. For those who aren't familiar with Limud, it's based here in Auckland. We're hosted by the wonderful Diocesan School for Girls. And it's on this weekend. There's still time to book. The website is limud.org.nz. That's www.limud.org.nz. And it's an amazing lineup. We have speakers from all over the world. We've got authors and artists and academics and musicians and community leaders, rabbis. There's even youth-led sessions as well.
So that's on the 25th and 26th.
That's right, the 25th and 26th of August. And there's a kids program this year that's being run by Kadima School, which is the only Jewish school in the country. So there's something for every age group, every member of the family, and it brings together Jewish people and people who aren't Jewish but are interested in Jewish education.
I think there's quite a few people who come from other religions and communities because they're keen to swap.
Yeah. Oh, it's so important to take opportunities to learn from each other's cultures.
So there's usually choices of workshops to
That's right. So on average, there are 6 different sessions running at any one time. So there's something for everybody. You can be in a panel discussion about politics in one room, and then in the next room you'll be creating together some Jewish art, and in the next room you might be listening to a top academic talking about the temple and what we know from the archaeology, all running at the same time.
And how would they find out about it?
So one more time, that website is www.limud.org.nz. Limud is LIMMUD.
Thank you. Right, now that we've done that, we've done our civic duty.
That's right. We've updated the public on the exciting things that are going on.
And now we're coming into the days of awe. Why awe?
It's a good question. So as we approach the High Holy Days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we start to reflect upon our relationship with our Creator, with God. And hopefully this is something we reflect on every day, yeah? But this time of year is a particularly powerful time of year. And I'm glad you bring up the term awe, because, and hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss this in future shows as well. But there is something about understanding that there's a force bigger than ourselves, and that we need to tap into that as well.
I don't know how we can tap.
Well, the beautiful thing is that it's part of us too. So the Jewish concept of the soul is that it's connected. We're connected to Hashem, to God, and we're connected to each other. That spirituality is something that connects all of us.
I think spirituality is a difficult word to translate.
Yes.
You know, what do we mean by it? What does it bring to mind?
Well, today we're going to look at it in terms of connection and relationship. And I agree with you, it's such a broad term, and it means so many different things to so many different people.
Because it's different, you say, oh, she's very spiritual. What does that mean? Does that mean she's got spirituality, or that she's not ordinary life? Mm-hmm. You know,
it's true.
All these words are weighted.
They are weighted. And so I guess I'm going to introduce another weighted one, and that is connection. Connection. We're going to talk about spirituality today in relation to connection, because at this time of year, we're looking at repairing relationships. This is the time of year where we really think about how can we repair the relationships that we have with people and the relationships that we have with our Creator. And there's a beautiful metaphor that I want to share with you, Joan, about what happens when we do something that's not okay or not kind in a relationship. And for those listening, you can think either about your relationship with God, or you could think about your relationship with someone that you love. But let's say you've done something.
It's more the people you don't love that you have to worry your relationship.
We'll talk about that as well. But let's go with a starting point for the people that we're close to, and then we'll move into the ones that perhaps we're not so close to yet. So if you imagine, and we'll talk about it first in relation to Hashem, but that any important relationship we have, we've got us and we've got the other party. And if you imagine that connecting us are beautiful little strands, almost like strands of string, and each time we do something loving in that relationship, we create another strand. So for a human relationship, that might be each time we say I love you, or each time we give somebody a gift, or each time we do an act of service for them. Anything like that, we're creating a strand. In time, what happens is the bond between us is so strong. When you look at a rope, it's all these individual strands. They're very weak. But when they're bound together, they create a very strong rope. And so we end up with a very strong bond with that person. We've built up that love. Now, on the other hand, each time that we do something harmful to that relationship, it's like we're chopping one of those little threads. So it weakens our connection. Where does this idea of connecting with people, though, and apologizing for things that we've done wrong, and making sure that we correct things that aren't okay come in. It's a beautiful idea. Each time we take one of those strings, and that has been created with love, and then that has been cut with an act that wasn't loving, we have the opportunity to tie a little knot and reconnect. And what's amazing, if you keep thinking of this metaphor of a piece of string, when you start with a piece of string that's, let's say, 30 centimeters long, you cut it, something not so nice, but then you retie it, the result is that the distance is shorter. You are therefore closer. And so in Jewish thought, when you apologize for something that you've done that's not okay, whether it's something between you and God or between you and another person, what you're actually doing is bringing the two parties closer. Each time you retie one of those pieces of string, you end up closer than before you even started.
But that takes it that people admit to their errors, which they don't always do.
I'm glad you brought that up, because in Jewish culture, the concept, and Jewish religion, the concept of apologizing for something that you've done wrong, one of the essential components is that you do take responsibility. So anything that you've done that wasn't okay between you and another person, you don't need to just ask forgiveness of God, because yes, you've damaged your relationship with God a little bit as well. You have to ask forgiveness of the individual who was involved and recognize and take responsibility for the fact that what you've done has damaged that relationship.
But this often happens in relationships, that somebody damages you and you lash out.
Yeah, it can escalate.
And then say, well, you didn't apologize to me, so why should I apologize to you?
That's right, that's right. And actually, in the same way that we kind of hope that love should be unconditional, we need our apologies to be unconditional as well. You can't say to somebody, I'm going to say sorry to you, but only if you say sorry to me. That actually the only thing that we can control is our own behavior. And hopefully we'll inspire others to apologize as well. But even if we don't, we are obligated to find a way to forgive. What's very interesting in Judaism, though, is it's a three strikes and you're out policy when it comes to apologizing. So if, God forbid, Joan, I've wronged you in some way, and I sincerely regret it, and I come to you and I genuinely apologize and I ask your forgiveness once, and you're not feeling it, right? And you say, no, I don't forgive you. Fine. I go away, I come back a second time. I genuinely apologize, I ask your forgiveness. What I did was horrible, you don't forgive me, you say no. But the third time, if I come back with a genuine apology, genuine regret, and I ask for your forgiveness, you have to grant it to me, according to Jewish law.
Well, I think three times all you're out is a good number.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, that when we hurt another person, we're not just damaging the relationship that we have with that other person. The theory is we're also damaging our relationship with God, with Hashem, or with our spirituality, if we use that loaded term. Yeah.
Or ourselves, really, of our conception of ourselves. Well,
yeah.
I didn't like the fact that I didn't.
It's true. It reminds me of the saying, hatred corrodes the vessel it's in. You know, that really when we take these negative emotions or actions, out of all the damage we cause, usually the most damage is to ourselves, becoming people that we don't want to be. And so this time of year is a real opportunity to take the chance to say sorry.
And we do, you know, and everybody does it together.
Yeah.
I mean, some people even...
Yeah. For some people, it's even a physical thing. You know, they go to the synagogue, they say that these prayers of repentance, they take their hand in a fist and symbolically they beat their chest. You know, in Judaism, we're commanded not to harm our bodies. So it's not a physical kind of beating. It's a spiritual, just a little tap on the chest as a wake-up call to your heart to say, actually, I need to take responsibility for what I've done. The other thing I really like about the idea of saying sorry, repentance, or tshuva, which is more like return than repentance, The thing I really like about it is that there's an understanding that it's human nature that we will make mistakes. And there's always already a remedy. We know that if we make mistakes, we have the opportunity to do tshuva, to return. Now, there's a caveat for this, which I find very interesting, that the sages discuss. The Talmud explains that you can't have in your mind, I'm going to do this nasty thing, and then I'll just say sorry and it'll be fine. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, these are for things that we did not intend to do, that we
were thoughtless.
I mean, there's even an idea that for us to really, to do bad things, we must have had a temporary moment of madness. That's one idea, that when we do awful things, it's a moment of losing ourselves completely, because otherwise how could we do that? Which I think is quite a forgiving way of looking at it.
But, you know, in today's world, you could respond in different ways. Mm-hmm. So that you say, okay, you think I responded wrongly, mm-hmm. but as far as I'm concerned, I responded truly in mm-hmm. The way I felt.
Yeah.
So I cannot take your interpretation that I was wrong because I did what I thought was right.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Because it tends to then influence our apology. You know, when we apologize for something like that, we tend to apologize for the other person's feelings. I'm sorry you're upset, instead of I'm sorry for what I did. And sometimes that can be almost provocative and worse than no apology. You know, if someone says to you, well, I'm sorry you're upset, it's not really an apology, is it?
No, because they obviously thought that they were doing the right thing.
Mm.
And I mean, I can do something which I think is right, and I did it out of what I thought was
the best action at
the
time.
The best action mm-hmm. and the kindest action. But somebody else says, no, you shouldn't have because it was a secret.
Yeah. And, you know, we're faced with these situations when we have conflicting values, called competing values.
That's the word.
That's right.
And
this time of year is such an important time for reflection. You know, this is the time of year to stop and look back and try and go, okay, was I in the right? If I wasn't, what do I need to do to rectify my actions? And that also, it comes from a place of love as well, of going, I care enough about myself, about other people, and about my relationship with my Creator that I'm going to take the time to repair. I'm going to repair the damage.
That's sort of tikkun olam.
Yeah, a concept that we've spoken about before, Joan, tikkun olam, this idea of healing the world. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I really like that idea of thinking that what's broken or what's at risk, that we can do something to help repair it. Now, what and who decides, I don't know.
Well, for today, we're going to talk a little bit about what and some ideas on how we can strengthen those relationships. You know, we've looked a little bit at the negative side, what happens when things go wrong and we need to apologize. But what about when we want to give and we want to strengthen those ties? We want to increase the love and connect.
Connect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Such a beautiful word. Now, it's really interesting. In Hebrew, the word to give is noten. Yeah, from the root nun. Tough, nun. And what's amazing is this is a palindrome, nun, tough, nun. Mm. You can spell it forward, backwards, and it's the same. And that's significant. There's meaning in that because when we give, we get so much back. Even if we don't intend it to be the way, even if we're not giving out of the motivation to receive, the truth is that we all know from that feeling, when you give, you get. It's not a surprise that in Hebrew this word is spelt the same, whether it's forward or backwards. And so we're going to look together, firstly, in our relationship with our Creator from a Jewish perspective. How do we give to Hashem at this time of year? And again, it's a very unbalanced relationship. The Jewish take on God is that he's given us everything. Yeah, he or she. We, you know,
you saw it in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, because we come from the Hebrew, language is gendered like it is in French or Italian. Mm-hmm. So because we have genders in the language, we refer to God as he. It doesn't seem respectful to refer to God as it, but really, we know God doesn't have a gender. Yeah, but that's a tangent. Anyway, so we're going to say he for the purposes of following the biblical Hebrew, but I ask your forgiveness, Joan. So there are three things that are required of us for this time of year to repair the relationship with our Creator. In Judaism, we call them tefillah, tzedakah, and tshuva. Tefillah is prayer. Yeah, a huge part of this time of year is prayer. In fact, twice a day we've added a special psalm for those who are interested, Psalm 27, a psalm of David, a beautiful psalm. We add to our prayers during this special period, these 40 days, as we go through the month of Elul and lead up to Yom Kippur. So
The thing of 40 seems to...
40 is a huge number in Judaism. We could do a whole session on that sometime. 40. Yeah, yeah. It's a very powerful number. So we've got these 40 days that we're increasing our tefillah, our prayer. We've also got the tzedakah, yeah, which the idea of tzedakah, it's not really charity. In Judaism, the translation for charity, it's justice. So the idea is that we do, at this time of year, we do give money to the poor. Yeah, it's something that we do contribute to. We don't do it because it's charity. We do it because it's the right thing to do. It's just. And we're trying to restore balance in the world. If we follow the idea that everything that we have is from God, then it's not really ours anyway. It's entrusted to us to use for the right things, and charity is one of those right things. And the third one is tshuva, this idea of repentance or return that we're going to have a chance to talk more about next week. And so we want to look for these three things that we are giving, right? This is to strengthen our relationship with Hashem. But what if we want to use this opportunity to strengthen our relationships with each other and not to just do it through apologies?
But it's the ideal time.
It's the ideal time. It's the ideal time. So for all of our listeners, those who are Jewish and those who are just interested, we're actually going to deviate a little bit and not go to Torah this time, but we're going to go to psychology. And we're going to talk about Gary Chapman and the love languages. Now, Gary Chapman explains the theory that we all communicate love in different ways in our relationships, and that some people will favor some ways of communicating love and some people will favor others and the way in which we give and receive love. And he talks about five different types of love that we give and receive. One way that we give love is through words. For some of us, it's saying, I love you. It's telling people how important they are or hearing that from them. For some people, it's gifts. Yeah, we show our love through presents. For some people, it's acts of service. What can I do for you? For other people, it's quality time. Spending time together is very important for some people in terms of feeling loved and also showing other people that they love them. And lastly, physical touch. A hug, a kiss, holding someone's hand. Those things make us feel loved or help us to express our love to others. Now, what's interesting, Joan, is that for different people, those have different value. And often in our relationships, we might find a mismatch or that there's a tension when one of us expresses love in one way and the other expresses love in a different way. So, for example, if you've got somebody for whom quality time is very important and the person they love is spending no time whatsoever with them but bringing them huge gifts that they don't really care about, you're going to have a mismatch, right? What about for you, Joan? Which one appeals to you? Is there one or two that you favour in terms of how you show love to the people you care about?
I like a mixture.
Yeah.
And it's really what you feel at the moment, you know. For my birthday, my grandson came from Australia. Well, the surge of love when I saw him, and it was such a surprise that...
It was the time together. That's what counted.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that he'd made the journey. So, yeah, it depends on the circumstances.
That's right. It does. And very much depends on the person. I mean, the ideal is that we should be able to give people love in the way that they want to receive it. as we get to know each other, that we can see what makes each other feel special.
I'm fortunate that I have wonderful neighbours, and I can say that we love each other.
Beautiful.
Because we've lived in the same vicinity for many years, and we interact with one another. And they would be surprised if I said, I love you. They think I was nutty.
Yeah, the language that you use together is not words. The love language that you use, and I know this from your neighbours, is service. You do things for each other.
Absolutely.
All the time. That's your love language with your neighbours. And whereas, you know, for the beautiful visit that you had, right, the language was quality time. Yeah.
And surprise.
Yeah. Always good. Always good to have a surprise in there
as
well.
It's a pleasant surprise, yes.
It's, I think it's important for us to consider in relation to what we were talking about before with saying sorry, because that's damage control, right? When we're talking about relationships that we care about, be it the relationship with our creator or a relationship with a person that we love, it's not just about damage control and repairing when things have gone wrong. What we want to do is build beforehand. And John Gray, who wrote the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, he talks about it a little bit like a bank account, that each time you do one of these acts of love, you're doing a little deposit. And that means when things go wrong and you do a big withdrawal, you've got some stashed away, that it's not such a drama.
Mm. I think, on the whole, that people have affection for each other, which is not quite as deep as love, but affection has its own value.
It does, and I think it's expressed in the same love languages. I mean, we could call them instead affection languages, you know, or appreciation languages, because you get these same interactions with colleagues at work as well, where it might be that the way you express your appreciation is through words or through giving some time to somebody in your office or through helping them with a task they need to do, like an act of service. And we won't get into physical touch because I don't want to you know, in terms of politically correct and lawsuits and da-da-da-da-da, but, you know, it's...
But, you know, I did some shopping yesterday and I had lots of parcels in my hand, and I came down in the lift from at a mall, and a woman came up to me and said, "Can I help you?"
And beautiful.
Took all my parcels, a young woman, she was Russian. And because I came in one entrance and came out the other, I didn't know where I was.
Oh, it's frustrating.
And she
walked
with me until we found my car, and then she put it all in. And
beautiful.
I said, "Pajalista."
I'm sure that made her day as well. Yeah.
And so this is kindness from a stranger.
Yeah. And if we go back to that Hebrew word, noten, to give, you know, I bet you if you talk to her, you put a smile on her face, it made her day.
By her, I gave her a hug.
Lovely. Physical touch. Beautiful. And it's, you know, again, it's that idea that when we give, we also get. It's not, you know, hopefully it's not our motivation, but when we give, we also get. And that's how we form connections.
And I think that goes, it's get talking about that strand when you were talking about, and I was thinking of strands with raindrops on it, you know, that shimmer. And it is that you're just throwing out another thread.
What a beautiful idea.
To a stranger, and that stranger has thrown a thread there. And we both, I think, went away feeling I was delighted that I'd been given this help, and I think she felt better that she had given it.
I'm sure. And for each of these little acts, we're not just increasing our love in the individual relationships, but we're increasing the connections in society as well, and helping to do the tikkun olam, the repair of the world, and make it the kind of place that we want to live.
Thanks, Deb, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to listen next Sunday at 10 past 10. And if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom. And we'd like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.